Welcome to The Syndicate. On today's episode, we unpack a cinematic gem set against the grim backdrop of war and disease. Pearl dives into a life of a young woman with starry-eyed dreams in a world that seems to consistently conspire against her. Our discussion will meander through Pearl's pursuit of fame, her chilling descent into darkness, and the aesthetic nods of cinema's golden era. Stay tuned as we explore how Pearl's tragic tale reflects a relentless pursuit of personal ambition amid societal chaos. All this and more, coming up next on The Syndicate.
Welcome to The Syndicate, a film and TV podcast. Be a part of the conversation as industry insiders, genre lovers, and cinephiles dare to peek beyond the curtains of imagination and dive into the art of cinema. Join us as we want you to spend less time scrolling and more time watching. Now here's your host, Armand Haddad.
Allie, you're back in the hot seat.
I'm back.
We watched X. Thank you so much for coming back. We finally watched Pearl. And I have a lot to talk about with this movie. I don't know what I expected going into this, but this was wonderfully different, and I absolutely love it. I do have to ask, so we watched X together. Mm-hmm. You had a burning desire to watch Pearl, and now you finally watched it. What did you think?
I have a very, not like a mixed feeling about it. I feel like I really enjoyed it as a part of the universe of this, of X. And I think it answered some questions. Do I think as a standalone movie, I think it's good? Like, I don't know if I would have enjoyed it if I just watched Pearl and never saw X, you know?
Right.
So that's kind of where I'm at right now about the movie. But I do think I enjoyed it overall.
So it sounds like you were left wanting more.
Maybe.
So, because like when we started on this journey together, you were like, okay, should we watch Pearl first, then X? And I was like, no, I think we should watch it in theatrical order, watch X first, then Pearl. Because I had a feeling that Pearl would lean more on X, you know, even though it was its own thing, there was like the audience with the knowledge of X going into this would enjoy it more than just watching it on its own.
100%.
Because there were several moments where you're like, ah.
Yeah, they definitely with the script tied it back into X. I think with I don't want to get too much into it, but with the movie, the picture show going to that, like they with the guy and his like his reel from France or whatever, like they tied it back into X, and I really enjoyed those little like nuggets where it came.
That was like the nice through line, because like I was thinking, because like X is the main thing is like they're making a porno, and then Maxine, the sequel we're gonna get, surrounds Maxine's life as a porn star. And it's like, Pearl, you know, this is like 1918. This is back in the day. Now, there was like, you know, smutty pictures back then, but it was super rare. I didn't think it would go that route of like showing an adult film in this story, but it went there. And I was like, ah,
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Same.
That's so awesome. You know, Pearl, because like we talked about this last time with like Pearl and Maxine and how they're very similar characters, like, they both have their ambitions that they're going after. Mm-hmm. Like Pearl wants to be, I guess, famous. She wants to perform on stage. She wants to travel the world. She wants to be a dancer. She wants to be all this stuff. And it kind of goes hand in hand with Maxine's character, because Maxine wants the same thing, kind of, where she wants fame, but in a different way. She wants to be a star. She wants to be, you know, remembered, and how she wanted to be remembered as an adult actress. So it's like, it's very, very similar, but very different.
Yes. Yeah. Maxine didn't have some of Pearl's quirks. I'll say that.
Yes. And we're going to unpack that soon. But like another thing with Pearl, and we can get into the actual story, but like, I don't know if you caught on to this, but the whole like aesthetic of X was like the 70s slasher, and it was like, you know, grainy, and the cinematography was like of the time, and even like the kills were kind of like an homage to those gory movies. With Pearl, and I got the biggest kick out of it. It was like this Technicolor inspired palette on screen, like super bright colors, super saturated. Like it harkened back to those like classic films like The Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, especially her on her when she's wearing her mom's dress and she's on the her bike. I really thought of the Wicked Witch.
Yes, totally. Totally. Like, I don't think that was a coincidence. I think it was definitely intentional. Mm-hmm. And also the red dress that she wears is very reminiscent of, I forget her name, but the main character in Gone with the Wind, like almost the same exact dress.
Like Scarlett O'Hara or something.
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah.
Like, I saw the parallels, and even more so with like Pearl's character, I saw a Dorothy parallel. Mm-hmm. Like thematically, like both characters kind of like yearn for escape from their farm homestead. Obviously, they go in two different trajectories. Dorothy is like much more wholesome. And
yes.
Pearl is like a descent into madness and darkness. But I saw it. I don't know if you saw that.
I guess I did, because I did make a note about like, whoa, Wizard of Oz right in my face. But one thing that I noted was the beginning, how they opened up very similarly to X. We start in the barn again and then come out to the story. I thought that was nice. I was like, oh, we're back. Settle in our seats.
Yeah, I noticed that too. And what I really appreciated, like, with like X, we were fooled because we thought it was going to be like a 4:3 aspect ratio, and like it slowly opens up and it's like, you know, cinematic 16:9. And with this film, it's like there is no moment with that, and I was like, aw. But then I was like, wait, after, you know, watching the whole thing, I'm like, wait, this harkens back to the golden age of cinema, because it's like they're known for that Panavision, that super widescreen. I felt like maybe the director was trying to capture that right off the bat. It's like, boom, like cinematic widescreen.
Mm-hmm.
Remember these movies. I do. But yeah, you mentioned the beginning. Like we were saying, like there are similarities with X, but there are also some differences. Like this is a completely different time period. This is like a turn of the century almost. Would you like to, in broad strokes, say what this film was all about?
Sure. So this film follows Pearl. She is, I think she's an only daughter on this farm. She's married. Her husband's off at war. There's the Spanish flu going on. And she has to really help take care of the farm. Her dad's disabled. I don't know what her mom does, other stuff on the farm, I guess. And she just really longs for a better, bigger, brighter life. She wants to be a star. So every time she goes into town to get the medicine for her dad, sometimes she stops at the picture shows. And one day her sister-in-law tells her about an audition. And so she gets really stuck on this audition about getting out of there. And it's just kind of everything. I don't want to like spoil, but just like, I guess nothing will stop her from trying to fulfill her dreams, and it's what happens. Yeah, I guess that's it. I don't want to spoil too much, but she's nothing will really stop her from her dreams. I'll say that.
Right, and like you alluded to earlier, because like Maxine was placed in a situation where she had to like defend herself against Pearl, funny enough. But like Pearl, she has some dark quirks, as you put it. Like she has some serious issues that she needs to deal with, and how she deals with it is not in a healthy way. And it's kind of, everyone's at the fallout of like her troubles. Like she definitely, so we're back at the farmhouse, the same farmhouse as X. Like, I feel like the farmhouse is her prison.
Yes.
And like she yearns for something more than what her, I guess her destiny is tending on the family farm, helping her father who's disabled. Like, what's interesting about their family is like her mom kind of like embodies the sentiment of like sacrifice. Cause like in the beginning, and I totally thought I had the wrong audio track on because it started off in German. And I was like, wait, hold up. Pause. Oh, English. Okay. So the character's just German. And yeah, we start off with like German. And like what's interesting is like 1918 and Pearl's husband is off at war, the Great War, World War One. So it's like, oh, they fled from Europe for a better life in the New World. Like Europe is in flames. Like they essentially, like the context or the subtext is like they sacrificed everything for a new life in America. And it's hasn't been an easy road. And she kind of like explains that to Pearl, like you don't understand like how much we sacrificed. And there's also like kind of like racism towards Germans in America because of the war. So it's like life isn't easy for them. And also their father got disabled. So it's like there are things that you need to deal with. Like you're being selfish in your ambitions. It's like, yeah, I understand you want more, but like even if you try to get more, you'll probably lose everything. That's like the wisdom from her mom. And Pearl doesn't listen to her mom.
As a teenager, well.
That's true.
Or I guess she might be older because she's married. I'm not sure what her age is supposed to be.
Let's assume 20s.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I don't blame her because like she, it's so glamorous to see. I mean, it's a time of like when movies are like becoming popular. It's before the talkies, silent film, and you have all these beautiful people on screen. And Pearl, just like her name, she's a pearl. She shows she's beautiful too. It's the archetype of the farmer's daughter. So like she wants something more. She doesn't want to be cooped up in this house. And it's also interesting. Like, I don't know if it's a product of the time in which it was filmed during a pandemic.
Yeah.
But like it had that subtext of like the Spanish flu, which happened, you know, in the 20s and now 20s now we had COVID. So it's like
definitely more relatable.
Yeah. So it's like seeing people back then wearing masks, keeping distance from each other. I don't want to catch the bug, honey. Oh, don't worry, I don't have the bug. And I'm like, oh, I remember
that. Bring the germs.
Yeah, like people like being wary of like other people. Like her mom was kind of a shut-in, kind of agoraphobic.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't blame them. Like Spanish flu was bad. Like people were dying left and right. Like people dying in the streets. And so she didn't want like to infect, you know, her disabled husband, her family, like could be bad. There's a lot of layers with this film is what I'm trying to convey. It's like we had like the pandemic subtext and then all of that is like Pearl wants to be a star at the peril of like everybody. Cause like she goes to town to get like medicine for her sick dad, disabled father. It's like morphine. And she's supposed to come right back home, but she doesn't. She goes to the pictures.
And everyone's like coughing in there.
Yeah, and she takes off her mask too. Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't care.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
So, yeah. Would you say that in her actions so far, she's selfish?
Oh, definitely. She's definitely a very selfish character. Like, she does, there is some sacrifice. Like, she does take care of her dad. She does, like, do the work on the farm. But she does find these moments to be selfish. And that's just, she's young. That's what she's going to do, you know?
Young and dumb.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just interesting having that contrast between, like, her mom that's like, you have duties, you have responsibilities, you must make sacrifices in life. And these are your sacrifices to help your dad. And also to, I guess, wait for your husband to come home from war.
Yeah.
So it's like, because he was like a farmhand. That's how they met? Like on the family farm or something?
Yeah, he was a farmhand. And then, because she says like later in her monologue in the film, that he was a farmhand and she kind of cherry picked him because he had money, he had a nice life. Like even the sister mentions like, well, we had a doctor who was gonna write something for him so he didn't have to go to war. Like they had connections and he's like, but he wanted to do his duty, right. You know?
Right. Cause there was like romanticization with like war. That was like the first modern war.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you know, people are like, oh, it's to be like heroes and villains. And then they get to the battlefield, they're like, oh, dear God. So it's like walking into a meat grinder. It's horrible. Mm-hmm. It's horrid. So it's like, in the context of like their family dynamics, like you had the dad, I don't know how long he's been disabled like that, but I would assume kind of recent. So it's like, we have one guy down, and then the other, the husband, Howard, to Pearl. He wanted to go to war really bad, so it's like, okay, two down.
Yeah.
So now it's like Pearl and her mom to take care of an entire farm, taking care of her dad. It's like there's a lot going on.
Yeah.
Like there's a lot for two people to do all that. So it's like I don't blame her mom for being like, what are you doing? Just come on. And then they have that climactic moment in the middle of the film or – 2/3 through the film where they actually get into like fisticuffs.
Yeah.
Over this. So it's like the clashing of ideas just comes to a boiling point and they just explode on each other.
Mm-hmm.
I don't blame Pearl for her desires, but it's also like
blame her for her actions.
Yes. Like she goes to the pictures, she meets the projectionist who's a handsome man, he's a bohemian, he's a vagabond.
Yes, yes.
And he, like, I think he pushes her over the edge because, like, she has, like, these aspirations. Like, oh, I want to do all these things. She meets the projectionist, and the projectionist's like, oh, I could see you in pictures, honey.
He's like, yeah, these dirty pictures.
Right. He was very, what's the word, wholesome, like, very earnest, like, oh, you're beautiful. You could be in these pictures. Uh-huh. And then like later on, it's like when they're alone, he's like, let me show you something.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was, what was funny was like, she was scared. She's like, is this legal? Not here, but in the Europe, it's legal. Oh my God. But then, yeah, her sister-in-law, Misty, kind of like truly. So it's like, we had the setup with like the projection. It's like, oh, you could be a star. You should be a star. Go to Europe, be a star. And then, like, her sister-in-law, her husband's sister,
yes,
is like, there's an audition. You should go. Come on. It'll be fun. Little does she know, that would be the end of everything.
Yeah. I really like the setup with the sister. I think, I don't know, it's just interesting to see, like, her, Pearl's mom makes I think it might be later in the movie, but she tells Pearl, like, you know, it's not about what you want, it's about making do with what you have, sort of like that.
Yeah.
And I just, like, when you kind of, like, sit back and think, like, she had her sister-in-law who was really kind to her. She, like, her mom wasn't great to her, but she made sure she could eat, stuff like that. And, like, Pearl did, like, they were doing pretty well for themselves, I think. Like, not the best, but pretty well during this time. And she just really had to be patient for her husband to come home. And I don't know, I think I really liked the sister's character, and it made a lot more sense why she in the first movie film said she hated blondes, but
oh my god, you're right.
Yep.
Oh my god, I didn't catch that. Yeah, like Pearl had it, not saying she had an easy life, but she had a nice life. She had a, even though her mom was stern and German, you know, very hard, she was a good matriarch to the family. She took care of everybody because she had to. That was the card she was dealt in life, and you know, she dealt with it. And then her sister-in-law was nice. She was kind. Mm-hmm. And then her husband seemed, Howard, he seemed a nice guy too. Like, he didn't seem, he seemed very kind.
Well, even like the family brought food over for them, and they just like didn't take it.
A whole pig.
Yeah.
That's like food for like a week. That's a lot of meat. Yeah, that really bothered me. Cause like, I understand like the context, like it's a pandemic, like, oh, germs. But it's like, even back then, it's like, I don't think the germs are on the food. That's freshly cooked pig. And then just, I mean, you can even pretend like, oh yeah, we ate it, and like throw it away. Just leaving it on the porch. Oh my God. And like all the maggots on it. It's like, that's so rude. That's so rude.
Yes. It was very rude.
God, I would be, I'd be so mad. I'd be like, okay, last time I'll ever help you.
Yeah, probably was.
Yeah, like, so, like, Pearl's life is, like, she had a lot going on. Like, a lot of support structures. And the twist comes from, like, going from innocent to, like, malevolence when it comes to, like, Pearl's, I don't know if it's her transformation or descent into darkness, but she goes into underworld and it takes a sinister turn when her lofty aspirations become sinister and dark, when she decides to, like, I need to get rid of the obstacles in my life at whatever it takes to fulfill my dreams as being a star. And go ahead.
It's sort of, we sort of start to see a little bit of that darkness from the beginning when she just, you know, stabs the duck or whatever.
Yeah. That's always a bad sign when you're like, that's like a serial killer. They always start killing animals and then they go to humans.
Yep. So
it's never a good sign.
Oh, and then she takes it and throws, I didn't catch the name though of the alligator, crocodile, whatever it is, but I know she has a name for all the animals. And she,
yes.
I was like, oh, they're BFFs. I don't know how I feel about this.
That was a nice callback to X. Cause I was like, oh, the alligator's back. I want to talk about the scarecrow scene because I feel like that is the turning point for for Pearl. And I'm going to go back to my Dorothy parallel because, like, same thing with Dorothy's journey when she goes to Oz. Her turning point is when she meets the scarecrow. That was the first person in her trio that she meets, the scarecrow. And, you know, like I said, they go down different paths. Pearl doesn't go down the yellow brick road. She goes down a darker road. Mm-hmm. Her ruby slippers were soaked in blood, Pearl's. But with the scarecrow, Like, it starts off innocent, where it's like, oh, she sees a scarecrow and she's dancing with it, just like the big movie stars. And then it perverts. It goes into, yeah. She starts fucking the scarecrow. And then she's imagining the projectionist. And, like, the moment where we were in trouble is where she fantasizes the scarecrow as the projectionist. And then she screams at the scarecrow saying, I'm married. I have a husband. And I'm like, oh, she's crazy.
Yeah, just a little bit.
What did you think about all that?
Yeah, I thought she was crazy. But it also definitely felt like a callback to X with the sounds of, like, I feel like it sounded like when the scene when Pearl was watching Maxine in the barn, it sounded like similar, like the audio sounded similar to me. So I felt like there was like a little bit of parallel there.
That is the turning point for both films. Yeah. And they're both in the same position.
Mm-hmm.
Where she's on top. Because, like, Maxine's doing her scene where she's riding the dude on top. And then mm-hmm. Pearl is voyeuristically watching through a window.
Yes.
And then during that scene in X, she sees herself in that moment.
Mm-hmm.
And then with Pearl, I would assume it's her thinking back to that moment in the cornfield, maybe.
Maybe.
Oh, my God. Yeah, cinematic parallels. Same mm-hmm. exact imagery. Ty West, you're a genius. Because it's at both moments where, like, the movie takes a turn.
Yes.
Because, like, Pearl starts off, it's very, like, whimsical almost. Like, there's, like, you know, this undertone of darkness with, like, her killing animals, feeding it to crocodiles. But, like, there's a little bit of, like, innocence to it.
Yeah.
And then it turns.
Because she has this dream. She wants to be big. She wants to be a star. But she has no means to do that. And now she does. She's met someone who works with film who said maybe he could take her to Europe. She's met her sister-in-law who said there's this audition. So now she actually has a plan. Now she actually has a means to maybe seize her dreams.
Right. Because, like, the projectionist sees potential in her, gives her, like, an overall plan. Like, yeah, let's go. I have no roots. We could just go. We could go to Europe and fulfill your dream. He sees that in her. And then the sister-in-law comes and it's like, there's an audition. Oh, my God. The stars are aligning in Pearl's vision.
Mm-hmm.
And at the audition, it's at a local church. And when she gets there, and I know we're brushing over a major thing that happens in the movie. But, like, I want to say this first and then get to it. Apparently only picking one person.
Yeah, one person per, like, town or something.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, that the stakes are even higher at this point.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, oh, I have to win now.
It has to be me.
And the context is, so, like, she feels like her family is, like, weighing her down. So what does she do? She kills her family.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because she tries to, a little bit earlier, it seems like she tries to throw her dad into the water.
I thought she was going to.
Me too. Because,
like, that was one of the promotional images of, like, the movie. I saw this on Netflix. And that was, like, the pause picture where it's, like, she is holding the wheelchair of her father. Her father's on it over the dock where the crocodile is.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, shit, she's gonna kill her dad. Because, like, they have the setup with the goose.
Mm-hmm.
She's feeding the goose to the alligator. So it's like, well, clearly she's going to dump her father overboard. And it's like, I understand, like, he's, like, paralyzed from, like, the neck down. And he seems he can't speak. But, oh, my God, that's not a way to go. That is not a humane way to go. Get eaten alive.
Right.
Dear God. No. Oh, my God. So bad. But she doesn't do it because, like, her mom stops her at the last minute.
Yeah. She's like, no. Bring him inside. What are you doing?
And I thought she was going to, like, when, like, her mom was, like, grabbing her her dad out of the way, I thought she was going to push both of them off the ledge. Mm-hmm. But she doesn't. That doesn't happen.
Mm-mm.
Something worse happens. And it's all surrounding the dinner scene. Oh my God. Yeah, it goes full A24 at this point. Because, like, it's a dark and stormy night. They're having dinner. Like we said earlier, there's this climactic moment between the mom and the daughter. They get into a fight. Somehow she gets lit on fire, the mother.
Mm-hmm.
In full A24 fashion.
And then she takes... was the water boiling still? Like, she takes the pot of... I don't know if it was boiling or not. That's what I was like, oh my God. She takes the bucket of corn and throws it on the mom to get the fire off. But, like, her mom's been pretty burned up.
Yeah. So her mom gets all burnt up. And then her poor father just watching this all go down.
Terrified. Like, oh God, like, I can't do anything. My daughter's crazy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not a good scene. And yeah, then later on in the film, like, she suffocates her dad, Mercy Kill. And it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, she kills off her family. She goes to the audition, just killing her father, going to the audition. And like, mm-hmm. she's in full psychopath mode where it's like, she's like disassociating. She has her one objective, win the audition. And then she doesn't get it.
Mm-mm.
All of that, and then she doesn't get it. And then we get our shining moment in the movie where she starts yelling at the director, who then she sees her mom as the director. She's like, no, I am a star. And she makes this huge scene. And even though we're going to get a really cringe-inducing moment later on in the movie, for me, that was the most cringe moment. I was like, oh God, she's making a scene.
Mm-hmm.
She's making this big fuss.
Yeah, it was really sad because she was banking everything on it. And I did theater growing up. And my first year of college, I went for musical theater and stuff. And just being in the audition process really sucks. Like, you really have to learn to take the no's because... that's how it goes. Just because you're not blonde, you might not get a part.
Right.
Just because they have what they need in mind. And Pearl did a great job. Like, she did a great job. But yeah, when she hears that, no, we're looking for someone blonde. Like, she's just.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
Because, like, she definitely has talent. Like, she had this transcendental moment as she's, like, dancing and performing where she's, like, seeing herself with like a whole troop of like Rockettes looking girls mm-hmm. on the battlefield. And I think she did a great job, but then the director's like, honey, that was great, but we have plenty of women like you. We're looking for someone with that X factor.
Yep.
We're looking for a young blonde girl. It's like, why even go through all that?
Yeah.
Why go through all the pageantry of like having all these people audition if you're looking for a very specific person?
Yeah.
Got her hopes up.
Definitely.
And we didn't even mention that she killed the projectionist guy at this point.
Yes.
So it's like, because I was like, well, if she doesn't get the part, she could still go to Europe with this guy that believes in her. Except she killed him. Because she brought him to the house and he was like, oh, there's something fucked up going on in this situation. I need to get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
And she had that moment of rejection because he was rejecting her.
Yes.
And she skewers him with the rake.
Yes. Just like a duck.
Exactly like a duck. But yeah, we have all these moments where it's like, there's three moments. The rejection with, well, a form of rejection with her mom,
mm-hmm.
the rejection of the projectionist, and then the final one with the director, the casting director, rejecting her again. So it's like we have like rule of threes going on. So it's like we have all of these obstacles in her way. And I mean, you would think that she would... I feel bad for her.
There's a lot of like dramatic irony in the movie because it's just don't know, there's a part of you, like, in the beginning kind of wants her to succeed, but we know she doesn't because we've seen
exactly
X.
We know so her trajectory.
Yeah. So it is a bit heartbreaking just knowing that it's not going to go anywhere. It's a little sad. She's batshit crazy. Don't get me wrong, but.
Cause like we know where her story ends.
Yes.
Literally in X.
Mm-hmm.
And I just feel bad for her. And I'm glad we watched it in this order and not like, you know, the storytelling, order.
Yeah.
Because like, it's not truly her story. It's more of Maxine's story at the end of the day. And Pearl is kind of, is like the ancillary, story to hers. Like it points to Maxine's story. It's not Pearl's story,
mm-hmm.
but like we see where Pearl's coming from in X because like she had these dreams that were dashed. It's just her having to deal with the cards she was dealt. And when she sees Maxine essentially having that quote X factor, having that potentiality of like becoming a star and living out her dreams, she gets jealous.
Yeah.
She's like, that could have been me. You even mm-hmm. look like me. You're only young once. And when I was young, it was wasted. I feel bad, but like,
in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Her desperate pursuits of like being a star. I just wish she chose her mental health.
Yeah.
Over being famous. Because like she was definitely battling some serious demons in her brain.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Now, I guess I forgot about X when I was watching Pearl. But one of the most striking images of like Pearl's descent is like her visualizing and fantasizing about Howard being off in Europe and getting blown up. Because like,
yes.
There's that scene where he's like, you know, coming home from the dirt road and like waving to Pearl and the family. And as he's walking towards the homestead, he gets blown up. Like his body just explodes. Like, poof,
mm-hmm.
becomes like mist.
And she kills the like alligator, crocodile egg or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, nice. And she wants to kind of do it herself. Like,
yeah. Yeah. And I thought he probably died in battle and he probably wasn't coming home, not remembering that he's in X. But Jesus Christ, he survives the horrors of war and then he comes home and it's supposed to be this reprieve, like this happy moment. And like he comes home to Pearl's homestead and the horrific sight that he sees as he comes home. Words,
yeah.
They're beyond words. Of like, so like Pearl like sets up her mom and dad, the dead bodies of her mom and dad up at the dinner table.
She cleans
table.
Them up and makes them look like nice and like nice clothes. And then they put the pig in the middle of the table.
Yes. It's like this, it's like the Norman Rockwell painting of like, you know, the family Thanksgiving dinner where it's like, you know, the picturesque and they have the turkey and stuff. It's hearkening to that. It's like, oh, good old America.
Mm-hmm.
Like this is the dinner table, the family, but it's all inverted. It's all, it's wrong. It's all macabre. And it's dead bodies and, you know, their Sunday best around the table, and there's maggots and decaying food. And that's what he walks up into. And he's like, he's just stunned. Mm-hmm. And then he turns and he sees Pearl.
And she just smiles. Just smiles for an agonizing amount of time.
As the credits roll.
Yep.
And right then and there, I'm like, Mia Goth deserves an Oscar for that alone.
Yeah, I could not do that. That was so long. She's like, cheesing. And then starts like crying while she's cheesing.
Like, Mike, that was, wow. What, like, I want to ask you which one you like better, but like, I do have to say Pearl stuck the landing.
I think I like X better, but I think Pearl just like adds on to the universe. Like, I don't feel like I wasted any time or anything watching Pearl. Like,
right.
I feel like it was a good supplement.
Yeah. I'm in the same boat. Like, I enjoyed X more. I think Pearl had like cinematically more depth to the story with Pearl's character. I think there was much more going on than in X, but you know, I'm a sucker for those sleazy slasher films. Like it was a very well made horror film, and like
yes.
With Pearl, I felt like it was, if X was like the main thing, Pearl was like a really good DLC.
Yes, I agree 100%.
Like we had a really good vanilla game, and now we have an awesome expansion pack.
Yes, 100%. And then the Maxine will be the sequel.
Exactly.
Yep. I do want to mention, so after she gets rejected from the audition, she goes out behind the church and starts sobbing. And the sister comes out and was like, let me take you home. And she wanted to listen to Pearl. I was like, Pearl, I'll listen to you. And Pearl has this monologue, which we kind of get to hear some of her real thoughts. And she starts admitting a little bit about, she's like, oh, it started with animals and then it got bigger.
Yeah.
And she also had mentioned how she's like, I hate Howard, that he left me here. Like, I wanted to get out of this place. When I went to your house the first time, I thought, wow, it's just like the pictures being here. But Howard was so selfish. He wanted to live here. And Pearl's kind of cracked now. She's like exposed. Everything's on the table. And then she, once she's done with that, I don't know, it was just a really sad scene to me for this sister who really wanted to help Pearl. And then Pearl's like, no, well, don't tell anyone. Like, and Pearl just kind of decides, like, I've told you everything. I can't let you live, kind of thing. And runs after her with the, what was it, hatchet or something?
Yeah, the axe.
The axe.
Yeah.
I don't know, it was a really sad scene for me because, like, the sister really did, you know, she said, you know, sisters look out for, or we stepsisters have to, not stepsisters, sister-in-laws have to stick together, I think she said.
Yeah.
So, I don't know, that was just the saddest one for me, I think.
Yeah, it sucks because, like, I feel bad for her, Misty, and for the projectionist because, like, they were just innocent bystanders to this. Like, they had, well, I mean, her sister-in-law definitely had better intentions than the projectionist. The projectionist was a bit of a sleaze bag. Like, he knew she was married and still, you know, had sex with her. But other than that, it's like, you know, like, they didn't deserve to die.
No.
And, oh my God, yeah, that scene, like, that was one long take of Mia Goth just, like, emoting on screen, having this cathartic moment for the character of, like, because, like, Pearl's character had, like, all this, like, bottled up inside of her for, like, I guess years and years and years. So it's just this resentment towards her family, to her husband, to her situation. And then she just had this release, this emotional release where she's just trauma dumping on her poor sister-in-law. And yeah, her sister-in-law had all the best intentions. Mm-hmm. Like she loved her. She cared about her. Like, she's family. And God, poor Misty.
Yes.
walking into the bear trap. She didn't know. She could not have fathomed that Pearl just like cracked on the inside and just murdered her family, the movie theater guy, just like, and then eventually her.
Yeah.
And then poor Howard coming home. It's like, yeah, killed my mom and dad, killed your sister, dumped this random guy. Oh, I cheated on you, by the way, and I killed him, fed him to the alligators.
You missed a lot.
You missed a lot. Welcome home.
Like, that's like what's so surprising to me is like, why did Howard stay?
Occam's razor, he loved her.
Yeah.
I think any rational person would have ran for the hills. To be a soldier, you have to be in somewhat good shape. So I think he would outrun her.
Yes, just definitely. Like
bolted. And then told the police, my wife killed her family, my sister.
Yeah, I think they'd allow a divorce over that.
Whoa, Sonny, hold on. Your wife did what? She got the hysteria. Let's go get her. I think he just loved her so much. Like, even in X, there was that breadcrumb of like, we have to do this right, Pearl. You know, the cops are going to come sniffing. We have to hide the bodies. We have to do this right. It was self-defense. And also, I love the line in X, which kind of paid off in Pearl, where like he didn't like men sniffing after Pearl. Like, I had to deal with you bohemian types.
Oh, yeah.
And like the projectionist was like, you know, a fancy word for me is a bohemian. I don't have a home. So I'm like, I pointed at the screen. I'm like, that's why her husband doesn't like bohemians. Doesn't like the vagabonds. It's all coming together. Yes, it's all coming together. So I think he just loved her at the end of the day and was willing to do whatever it took to protect his wife. He was protecting his wife.
Mm-hmm.
He knew she was, I mean, if you're marrying somebody, you kind of know. You kind of know what's going on in the brain. So I think he knew she had some troubles.
Mm.
Maybe he just didn't fathom that it would manifest in murder.
Yeah.
Multiple murders. But I think the line that was crossed was his sister.
Definitely.
Like, if I was in Howard's shoes, I'd be like, killing random guy, cheating on me, killing your parents. But now you're killing my family.
Yeah.
That crosses.
I wonder if she even told him about the sister. I feel like.
I think he would have found out if. Because, like, his sister also didn't tell his family that she was going to go audition for this role. And we can get off the fence whether or not she got the role. Like, it was implied that the director was kind. I mean, she checked all the boxes. She was young, blonde, pretty. I don't know if she can dance and sing and perform. Well, there was no singing back then. But I don't know if she was, like, talented. And she also didn't seem happy after she did her audition.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that was to help her sister-in-law because she was like super distraught, sobbing outside.
Yeah. I think it was kind of implied because she was blonde and Pearl was like, congrats, like you got the part. And she's like, I didn't. What are you talking about? Like, I don't know. We don't know for sure, but I think it's implied she got it. Or Pearl just assumed she did because she was blonde and was like,
right,
took out that anger on her as well.
Right. It could go either way.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's left ambiguous to like, because like, I'm leaning on she probably didn't get it. But then again, she might have gotten it and kind of protected herself. Like, what are you talking about? I didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
It could go either way.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do want to ask you something. Did this film defy your expectations? Because like in the beginning, like you seemed, it didn't meet your expectations. Because like we saw X and we're like, oh my God, we have to watch Pearl. X was awesome. Let's watch Pearl. And then you're like, it was different.
I don't know if I had much expectations for it. Like, I didn't know where it was going to go. I didn't really know how they would set up to show us about Pearl and make a story about it. But I do feel like it felt like a cohesive story. It added on. It tied into X. I guess, a little bit defied my expectations. It was a little bit... But I don't know if I had any set ones. I think I was just along for the ride a little bit for this one.
That's a good mindset to have. Because, like... I had no idea what to expect from this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even though they're very similar films, they're also very different.
Yes.
Because, like, X was the external threat where, I mean, it's a slasher film. These naive young people are placed in a situation where they're isolated and, oh my God, there's killers. We have to defend mm-hmm. ourselves. With this film, it was the monster was within Pearl.
Yes.
It was the darkness within her. And that manifested, and then she went out and killed people.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know which I like more.
Yeah.
You know? Like, it's, but together, I think they work best. It's like a yin and a yang.
Yes, I agree.
I really enjoyed this film.
Oh, definitely was a very, very good film. Very good writing. Good acting,
yeah.
Good colors. Yeah.
Do you think this film held a mirror to our own desires and fears? Or do you think it was more of a portrait of an unhinged person?
I think it could hold a mirror. I think people do have desires that, like, they really crave, they really want, and it's, like, a little bit, like, would I go that far for something I really wanted, something to think about?
Right.
I don't think I'd ever go that far, but but I do like when she's sobbing outside, didn't get the audition. Like I feel that like you go in there and you do your best and there was literally nothing you could do because you weren't what they wanted. Like it's heartbreaking. I get it. The difference is a lot of people pick themselves up and you try, like Pearl could have tried again. Like there probably was another audition she could have gone and done. Like that, she was young. There's still time. And they said they had girls that looked like her in other things. So that means like she could have done this somewhere else, you know?
Exactly. It was like the end all be all for her.
Yeah.
It's like, if I don't get this, my dreams, like that's it. I'm done. Yeah. And that wasn't true. But then again, she wasn't rational.
Yeah. Yeah. So a mix of both, like definitely unhinged character, but I think you can. With her emotions, there's a little bit you can empathize with. It's very weird greatness, I think, in the movie, because I think Mia Goth just does a great job with her acting with Pearl, like how distraught, how sad, all of the, just her acting was very, you could connect with it, I feel.
Oh, yeah. Let me just be honest. When we were growing up, kids wanted to be like doctors, astronauts, you know, like professions that required like skills, intellect, like those type of things, like STEM, essentially. Now, what's kind of disturbing for me is like the young kids today want to be like TikTok influencers. They want to be influencers, and it sucks because, like, since the advent of, like, reality TV in, like, the early 2000s, you don't have to have talent to be famous.
Yeah.
Like.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I guess you just need that X factor, but like, what makes like these great movie stars of like decades prior is like, yeah, they had that X factor, but they also had talent, you know? Yeah. It wasn't like, oh, they're pretty. Well, what stands people apart is like, well, it's like the intersection of everything. You're pretty, you're smart, and you have like talent. So it's like, that's what makes you, you know, stand out from everybody else. It's like, well, yeah, there's a whole bunch of pretty people. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of smart people. But like, it has that intersection of like, for example, like Marilyn Monroe. She was a super smart person.
Yeah.
But she was also pretty. And she can act. So it's like, nowadays it's like, well, you just have to, I don't know, be viral?
Be hot.
That's it. Yep. Do a TikTok dance. It's like, I don't want to sound like an old fart saying this, but it's like,
it's the algorithm.
Yeah. It's like, if you can hit those dopamine receptors, that's all you need to do. And it's like, it's just disheartening. It's like, it should take more. It's like a Black Mirror episode.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I get it. But I do think that like, there are still people who are, it's just different niches of things now. There's still people who are hot, smart, and talented doing things like Mia Goth, you know?
Yeah, like the actual movie stars of today are, you know, are doing that. But it's also like, there's so many other factors too, because there's like other industries too that like stand out. Like, for example, what's his name? Neil deGrasse Tyson. Mm-hmm. Or like Bill Nye. It's like, are they good looking men? Yeah. But they're also like super duper smart.
Yeah.
And they like did a lot of work to get, you know, where they are in society and the pop culture icons. They didn't just like go on TikTok and start dancing to like a 15 second, you know, song. It's like, I don't know. I don't want to sound like a grandpa in the room. But like, God damn it. It's just, so I think it does hold up a mirror, like, what people will go through and what people will do to be like famous or for that 15 seconds of fame.
Yeah.
But also I think Pearl is just a wonderful portrait of like a very disturbed, unhinged woman that needed support, that needed help. Yeah, she didn't have any of it in 1918. And she went crazy.
She didn't have, and she didn't really have any friends. She didn't have a lot.
Yeah. She was isolated.
Definitely.
And I think that landed into the context in which the film was made, where we were isolated for a time period and people got stir crazy. It sucked. And I think Pearl was just the extreme version of that.
Definitely.
So I want to talk about Maxine for a tiny bit before we go.
Okay.
So we've seen Pearl's trajectory in both X and Pearl. And we saw where that ended up. Do you think Maxine will also have the same trajectory? Because I believe this is the final film. I think Ty West just wants to do three films with this character.
I don't think she has the, like, urge to... I don't think she has that, like, rage within her, like, Maxine. I think, if anything, it could be... Like, her vice seems to be drugs. So maybe there could be...
Right, cocaine.
Yeah, so maybe there'll be more issues with cocaine near the end of the movie. Or I know Maxine, it looks like they're supposed to be the serial killer that was...
Right, the Night Stalker.
Night Stalker around that time, so maybe it'll go back to kind of being slashery. I think Maxine might have that X factor, but I think it's kind of like if Pearl's life went the way she want kind of thing.
Right. Because Maxine, it seems like Maxine got what she wanted, but I think there will be a price to that.
Yeah.
I don't know what the price will be, whatever she has to pay, but I think the context of the Night Stalker being in the trailer, being alluded to, I don't think it's there just to set up the setting. Maybe Maxine will encounter the Night Stalker. Maybe she is the Night Stalker.
Oh, that'd be interesting.
Because, like, okay, so she's in... Okay, so the Night Stalker was in California. There was two of them. I don't know which one they're going to do, because I believe that the original Night Stalker was the Golden State Killer.
Hmm.
I know you're a true crime fanatic. Because, like, that guy that they caught a few years ago, he was, like... They thought it was multiple people, but it was actually just him. And that guy was, I think, the original Night Stalker, or one of the Night Stalkers.
Gotcha.
So if we're going with that motif, either she will encounter the Night Stalker and get killed by him, or she is the other Night Stalker and she kills people. But I don't think she kills people. I don't think she's like Pearl, because she was placed in that situation where she had to defend herself against Pearl, and she kills mm-hmm. Pearl. And there's some sort of illusion like, oh, your history is going to catch up with you type of thing.
Yeah. I don't think she's killing people, but I'll just be along for the ride again. I think it'll be a good ride.
Yeah. I'm very curious on where her story ends.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we're going to see the last of Maxine. I'm just really looking forward to it.
Me too.
I think, yeah. My gut tells me she got what she wanted, but then it's the further corrosion of her character type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, she wanted to do anything it took to become a star. She is a star now, and I think she's going to reap what she sows, and whatever she's reaping is not good, obviously.
Yes, yes, yes.
So
yeah, it's I feel like it's got to be great. Like, it's such a good setup with the first two movies. Fingers crossed.
I just hope, sticks the landing. It's hard to stick a landing on, like, a third film in a trilogy. There's always some sort of, like, it doesn't quite work. And even Star Wars had the problem with Return of the Jedi. It was good, but it's not as good as the other two. So I just hope he sticks the landing.
Yeah. Oh. I have faith.
I have faith, too. And it's also good that he's also doing, like, three different aesthetics with it. Because, like, you had, like, a 70s movie, you had, like, an early Hollywood movie, and then you have, like, what seems like an 80s movie. So, like, I'm so ready for whatever he's going to do. So, fingers crossed. And also, Mia Goth is, like, producing and help writing these films, too, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah, nice.
Because, like, during the credits of Pearl, is like, Ty West and Mia Goth written by. And I'm like, hell yeah. And she was the executive producer. So, I'm like... Fuck yeah, this is like your passion project now. So
yeah, that's awesome.
I have high hopes.
Me too, me too.
All right, Allie, thank you so much for coming back and doing this. We'll once the summer rolls around, we'll hit up Maxine when that's in theaters.
Yes, I can't wait. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I know your book was released, but do you have like another release for your poem book?
No, I just I just have my poetry book up right now. I've been slowly kind of writing more poems, so I'll probably start working on a second one eventually.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You're like Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Writing poetry. That's amazing. Yeah, everyone should buy your book if they haven't already.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Allie. This has always been a blast, and I look forward to talking about Maxine with you.
I can't wait. It's going to be so fun. Thank you for having me.
Awesome. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Bye.
That's it for this time on The Syndicate. We hope you enjoyed yourself. Keep the conversation going by adding us on Instagram and Letterboxd, where you can catch Armand along other podcasters and listeners at Syndicate. And until next time, stop that scroll and spend more time watching. Goodbye.